Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Isn't it good we can relax here and just have some fun? Because we're just a church family, yeah? It's not like, oh, I hope this goes right or that goes right. We just have fun. Let's just enjoy. I want to mess with everyone today, though, because I want to talk about the kingdom of heaven, that other realm. You see, do we realize there's always two realms around us, yeah? Wherever we are, there's always two realms we can access from. You know, I've said before, you can walk around certain situations or certain places and you walk in and you wonder, why am I feeling funny here? What am I picking up? You see, there's an atmosphere around us all the time and we're tapping into either one. We're either tapping into the kingdom of heaven or the enemy's camp. So this morning I want to get us to have a look at the kingdom of God and heaven. You see, our Western mindset, I believe, the enemy, Satan, has changed the concept of what heaven is all about. We think we're just people who get together in a building and just making it to a place far away in the sky. Oh, I hope I make it one day. I hope I get there. I hope I get to heaven. That's what we think. But when God wants us to have dominion and bring heaven to earth, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to bring heaven here, right now. Bring the kingdom of God down in our midst. That's what we need to be doing. See, why do you think Jesus said this is how you should pray, which Gail was talking about before? Father, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven, here on the earth. I know I've turned that around a bit. But your will be done on heaven, here, on the earth. Bring heaven down, because that's what God is wanting of us. He's wanting us to bring his kingdom, not just I'll make it maybe one day in the by and by, hope I'm a good person and do all these good things. It's not about that. The kingdom of heaven coming now, bringing it with us. Wherever we walk, we should be able to bring that realm around other people's lives. See the miraculous. See God do stuff in people's lives. You see, we look at heaven in the by and by as if it's so far away. You ever hear people point, oh, it's up there somewhere. The kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom of God is right here, right now. See, that's where the concept of Bette Midler's song comes from. God is watching from a distance. We've all heard that song. God is watching from a distance. That's sad. God is right with us, right in our midst. He's wanting to have an intimate, personal relationship with each and every one of us. You know, people think, oh, I can't find God. You know, I've tried and all that. But when you start looking with your heart, we always engage God. Now, sometimes I could spend hours and not break into his presence. I don't understand it. But I know if I keep pressing in, keep pressing in, his presence becomes real and tangible. See, the truth is, for a Christ follower, our mandate is to bring heaven here into this realm, here right now. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent against powers of darkness take it by force. Because the enemy does not want you to access that realm. He wants to keep you in blindness. You know that thing I always use, you know, que sera, sera, they walk around in blindness. The future is not ours to see. You know? And they walk around in blindness, you know, because we don't know where we're going. Isn't that true, though? Isn't that what the world's doing? You know, walk around in blindness. Oh, I hope things work out right. No idea what's going on because we're walking around. People do that in blindness. Our problem is we look to get to heaven and be resurrected when we should be living in resurrection power right here, right now. Resurrection power right here, right now. You see, there's only two realms. There's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. We're accessing one or the other. And the world, the enemy wants to keep them blindfolded, keep them brainwashed, keep them their eyes closed, that they can't hear, que sera, sera, let's just walk around in the blindness. Where God wants us to access his realm, bring the kingdom of heaven here. So we're going to walk that, touch other lives, touch people with that. You see, people in the world don't understand that, but if we can carry that presence around to other people, they're going to experience him, his goodness, the kingdom manifest, the kingdom presence. You see, Australia, the world, we've got this idea now, we'll just come to church on Sunday, have a nice little quiet service, but it's more than that. It's the kingdom realm we need to be bringing. We need to be living in that. The kingdom, the reason we come to church is because we have good fellowship, good friendship, we're on the same page, can't shut us up, we all want to talk about the things of God and what he's doing. That's great, we need that. But the kingdom is what God wants us to live and breathe. You see, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You see, the eternal realm, the unseen realm, is what's real, as Gail was saying before. What is happening in the unseen realm, we need to tap into that. Our spiritual eyes need to be able to see what is happening. And as Gail's already used my message in the children's message, I'm going to share it again. That's all right, that's good. Because it just reinforces Elisha and his servant, which is in 2 Kings 6:15 to 20. So if you get a chance, I hope we've all got our Bibles open today and we're all reading them. 2 Kings 6:15 to 20. Shall I start? All right, I'll start. "So when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." You imagine that, yeah? You know, you woke up in the morning and there's a whole heap of enemy that wants to destroy you in the natural realm. If we don't have eyes to see what's going on in the spiritual realm, we'll look at that and we'll get led by that. You can't afford to do that. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. Here's Elisha says, "Don't be afraid." Now imagine that, if you're living in the natural realm and you're seeing that, "I'm going to die here," and he's saying, "Don't be afraid." If you can't see what's going on, natural, you're going to start freaking out, thinking, "What's happening?" This is why we need our spiritual eyes. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with him or with them." So thinking from the natural, you'd think, "This guy's nuts. We're going to die here." Yeah? This is why we need to know what's going on in the eternal realm, in the unseen realm. Anyway, Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see the Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Do you realize that every one of you here are protected by angelic beings, angelic hosts from heaven? You're actually protected. If you can understand that and stop getting an unbelief, "Oh no, this is going to happen and that's going to happen," you need your spiritual eyes open to see and know and understand that God is actually protecting you. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road," this is to the enemy, "and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria, and they entered the city. Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and they were inside Samaria. How powerful is that? So because he could see in the spirit, he actually knew what was going on, saw the angels there, saw a whole army of angels all around him protecting him, because the spiritual realm is what's really happening. You know, whatever's going on in the spiritual realm is always happening in the natural. So we need to be able to see what's happening in the spirit, because I'm telling you, everybody else is going to tell you that's not looking, it's going to tell you, "Oh no, this is happening, that's happening, oh don't do this." But if you can see in the spirit, because what happens in the spirit always comes to the natural. And we know that God is good. And we know that when we're seeking him and living for him and praying and asking him, we know we're going to have the victory. So what do you see? What do I see? What do we see? Do we see fear? Do we see circumstances? This is going to happen, that's going to happen. Oh no, what do we do? Or do we see that God has got this? I don't know about you guys, I guess we can all say this. I've been through circumstances that literally I shouldn't be here, because I've had everything taken from me, all that sort of stuff. You know, I've had circumstances come against me, but my eyes have always been on Christ. I've always seen the outcome, the truth, not what the enemy's dictated me is going to happen. I've always seen the breakthrough. I've always seen a triumphant procession, a new place coming in him. That's why I always say, when you go through stuff, don't look at the circumstances, look at him, because you know you're going to get a promotion. You know you're going to come into better ground. And sometimes we see people go home. You know, we need to understand they're in glory. You know, when people say, "Oh, they've died, I wonder what happened." We're all part of the same thing. You know, when you hear about the great cloud of witnesses up there, they've got to buy into this. Don't think that the great cloud of witnesses don't see what goes on down here, because I believe they do. John 3:3, Jesus said, "You cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you're born from above, born again. So unless you're born again, unless you have the Spirit of God living inside, unless you have Jesus in your heart, you're not going to see these things. You're only going to see what the enemy wants to dictate to you. You need to be born again. You need to have the Spirit of God living inside to bring life to all that's going on. Otherwise, you're going to be like that blind person in the world. Que sera, sera. The future's not ours to see. Whatever will be, will be. Just going in the by and by. I hope this doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. You need to have your spiritual eyes open. And that's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through him. It's only through saying, Jesus, come in my life. And then he starts to open your eyes. That's how you get free. You need a spiritual birth to see spiritual things. You will never see from the natural what's really happening in the spirit without this spiritual birth. Without it, you'll be brainwashed by spiritual darkness and blinded, blindfolded, hoodwinked. You won't be able to see. You won't know what is going on. You'll be dictated by what everything says. You're all the bad reports. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. You'll be floating around in that because you won't know the love, the goodness, the kindness of God who has a plan for your life. 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived. No human mind. The things that God has prepared for those who love him. So if you love Jesus, the human mind won't see it, but if you love Jesus, his spirit lives in you. He'll reveal these things to you. He'll begin to show you. And he has a plan and a destiny for each and every one of us. And it's exciting. So why won't we see him? Because we need our spiritual eyes opened. You know, the world says we've got blind faith. Oh, blind faith. But the truth is the world has blind faith because they don't even know where they're going. And they say, oh, you Christians have blind faith. Really? Our faith is alive. It's real. It's substance. It's truth. God starts to speak to you. And even though the enemy will come and people will come and say, oh, no, did God really say? You know you've got the victory. If you keep your eyes on him, just keep trusting for every circumstance. You see, when we read this supernatural book called the Bible, we read about continual supernatural happenings in the lives of believers. Apostle Peter was set free from jail by an angel, supernaturally hidden from the guards, and then fronts up at the other disciples' door of the place where they were praying for his release. How often do we see that in our church gatherings today? I want to see this stuff again. Philip vanished and was transported to another place after he baptized the eunuch. He was transported. This is the book we're reading, by the way. Peter's shadow healed everyone it touched. His shadow. Apostle Paul was knocked off his donkey by a bright light. John went into heaven often. Suddenly he was in the spirit. Paul went into heaven. He said he didn't know whether he was in his natural body or in the spirit. This is real Bible. Jesus disappeared from the crowd when they tried to stone him. Jesus walked on water. He healed the sick, rose the dead, and cast out demons. He fed 5,000. He rose from the dead. And 500 rose with him from the dead as well. This is the Bible we read. Enoch was taken into heaven, never to be seen again. Elijah was taken into heaven and seen again 900 years later on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. This is not just, you know, nice stories. This is fact. This is what happened. Moses parted the Red Sea. Elisha parted the waters of the Jordan River. David could have walked up and whacked Goliath with a piece of balsa wood and he would have still taken him out. Yeah. You see, it wouldn't have mattered what he used because he was already called, he already knew, he already had faith, he already knew that he was going to take him out. He could have walked up and just whacked him over the head. You're gone, mate. That's it. Why? Because the Lord God was with him. He saw in the spiritual realm that the whole army of angels that was with him. You see, you need real faith, not blind faith. You need faith, which is substance, which God starts to speak to you. You know you've got the victory. You can walk in that. These are only some brief accounts, and friends, the Bible is full of them. And God said to us, greater works shall we do. Followers of Christ, this is his way and his plan for us. Greater works, greater works. You know what we need to go? Get our mind changed. Get our mind changed from the old way of thinking and start believing that God can do this again. Do this in our midst. When we see people come in, pray for their healing. You know, see people get free of stuff. See this. We can start to bring this again. The Pharisees of Jesus' day had eyes to see, but they couldn't see. They had ears to hear, but they couldn't hear. You see, they were so used to going, and we can all get in this. See, I get in this stuff. We can easily get used to just going along with the by and by, but we need to break out of that mindset and break in to see God actually move and transform people just like that. The problem is the natural realm, because we're either living by faith or fear. You know, fear, what if? What am I going to look like? If I go and lay hands on this person, if I go and speak that, what am I going to look like? You know, or what's going to happen if I go up? Is this going to happen? You know, we need to start getting out of fear and walking in faith. Even if you are in fear, do it by faith anyway. Job 3:25-26 says this: "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil." Don't get caught up with the fear and get crippled by that. Oh, what if this happens? What if this happens? And what if this happens? And I keep thinking that, because you'll end up going that way. Don't do that. Have faith. Have faith. Even if you're doing it in fear, start stepping out. Start stepping out in stuff like that. And I'm telling you, God will start to bless you. You see, there's two kingdoms. As I was saying, Matthew 7:16-20. Bible says, "You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Thistles. I got my wrong, but I'm getting it. Thistles. "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." You will know them by their fruit. What does that mean? You know, you can see people, yeah, saved, going to heaven and all the rest, should be living heaven right now, but are living like hell. You know, walking around, getting a taste of hell, even though they're going to heaven. See, the enemy does not want you to walk in that realm, to be happy, to be joyous. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you, oh, just getting there on the skin of my teeth. He wants you to break through, and God wants you to break through in that realm now. And you can see it by fruit. Now, if I start living in an area I shouldn't be, then the fruit will be exposed. The fruit will come out. People will see it everywhere. And I've still got areas in my life, I'm sure I have, like everybody, I'm growing. But everybody, you can see stuff, people walking around in stuff, and they wonder why they're going through stuff, because they're not accessing the kingdom of God. They're living from the other realm without realizing it, just walking in places they shouldn't be. I watch some people come here, you might not see them for ages, but then they'll turn up and then, you know, they're struggling because they're still got their foot in both kingdoms, you know, in places that they shouldn't. Love them where they're at, but they're still living in a taste of the old life, a taste of the other kingdom. I don't want to live in that place. I want to live in the joy, the freedom, the abundance, and I want my friends to, my family to. I want, don't we want everyone to? Don't you want the whole world to see that? And, you know, when we see people going through stuff, love them where they're at, because remember, the enemy's got control of them there. We need to be able to, yeah, pray for them, help them, whatever way we can. So I believe too, there's an inheritance for all of us, but are we able to access it? That's one of the problems I think we have. See, Luke 16:28 says, the older brother, this is talking about the prodigal, the older brother became, you know, the prodigal, yeah, we better back up a minute, the prodigal who was who walked off, took the inheritance for himself, came back broken and all the rest, yeah. But the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. So all those years he's been doing the works, never disobeyed. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found. So hear what he said, everything I have is yours. Okay, that's well and good. Everything we've got, or God has got, is ours. So how do we access it? Because, you know, we can say things like Psalm 50:10, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We know that. Good then. How do we access it? How do we bring the presence of God, the kingdom of God in our lives? How do we bring that and manifest that in the church wherever we are or around people? How do we bring that? Because I believe our mindset has stopped us from actually accessing our inheritance. Are we saved? Absolutely, through and through. But I know there's so much more. There's so much more that the enemy does not want us to break into. The kingdom of heaven is right here. It always supersedes the natural realm. Truth always comes from the spiritual realm. So when you see people going through stuff and that, you know, you always have to understand, okay, what's actually going on in their lives? What area is the enemy still trying to keep them in bondage to? See, did you know what's playing out in the natural is what's coming out of the spirit of God? The spirit of good fruit or bad fruit. So whatever you see happening in someone's life, there's always that. There's the good fruit or the bad fruit. It's what they're living from, what they're accessing. Are they accessing the kingdom realm of God or the enemy's camp? Another one I think we get in fear of. Did you know that protection that Elisha had belongs to us? Belongs to us. But you know, we fear things. We fear people. We fear speaking out. We fear saying this. We fear stepping out because, oh, what will happen? If we really know our God, then, you know, nothing shall by any means harm us. You know, you can say, oh, but what if I do... Now, I'm not talking about stepping out in presumption, stupidity, you know, standing in front of a truck or something, or go and pick a fight or something. That's just stupid. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about if you're living for God, you're living in the right place, and something comes against you, whether it be personal or whatever else, you know you're going to have the victory because you can trust God in that. You see, I've heard people say this, and I believe this, you know, when people come up and say, I'm going to do this and that to you, well, really, God, what do you say? Well, my father hasn't given your father permission, so you won't be doing that. Is that presumption? No, I don't believe so. I believe we can live like that and speak like that. I really do. Have I been in situations like that? Many times. Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know I have power over you? What did Jesus say? You would have no power over me unless it were given for you from above. We need to understand the spiritual realm and what's really going on. Because the enemy is always going to try and throw fear at you. But you got no power over me unless it was given to you. Unless God gave it to you. Because people say, oh, but what about their will if they want to do this and that? Unless they've got the authority from God, it's not going to happen. Don't you know? What did Jesus say to him? He said, don't you know I could pray for a whole army of angels and they would deliver me? Bible says greater is he, Jesus, that is in me, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. Greater is he in me than he that is in the world. See, fear instead of faith is the culprit. Fear cripples, but faith sees the finished result. What if the doctor says it's terminal, you'll be dead in 10 years or even a year, you'll be miserable for that time? Or will you be savouring every moment you're here? What if the doctor tells you, oh, you've got a year? Think about this, because we've got eternity coming, yeah? Life's like a vapour, yeah? So the plan is whatever's going to happen, and that's not going to say it's going to happen, because the enemy's always going to throw a bad report. You know, we believe healing. But if that was happened, say you had a year, well, you know what I'll be doing? I'm not going to get miserable and say, oh, wow, I've got another day with you, Lord. This is exciting. Okay, what do you want me to do today? It's a mindset. Don't get caught up with all that junk and all that garbage. We're talking about eternity. Do we understand what we're here for? We've got one shot at this. We're here to grow in God, to get and love his presence, see the kingdom of God, the realm come here, but we're going to be with him forever anyway. We need to have our mindsets change to these things. See, we'll never get the opportunity again through eternity. So don't waste your life living in fear. Because guess what? When we're born again, did you know we're already dead? Yes. We're already dead, born again, risen with Christ. We're already living in resurrection power. You know, I heard this lady... Gloria Copeland years ago preached this message and I enjoyed it. And what she was talking about I'm not sure what they were. I think they were KKK, that's right, KKK people coming to a meeting of hers, and she's reaching these people, black people were getting saved, you know, Negro people, And they were coming out the front, and they stood up there and said, "Lady, if you preach that message tonight, I'm going to shoot you dead." And anyway, you think she stopped her? Absolutely not. They came in that night, guns the whole lot. This is a true story. And she started preaching. You know, she preached, "You can't kill me, Satan. I'm already dead, born again, risen with Christ Jesus. I'm already dead. You can't kill me." This is what she was preaching to them, yeah? And you know what happened? They got saved. You know, we need to be bold. We need to understand what faith is. We don't want to listen to what the world has to tell us, because I'm telling you, if you listen to that, you're going to get taken out every time. Don't let fear get you. And if you are in fear, step out in faith. You see, this life is a vapor. We're already living in resurrection power and life. It's just our unbelief and fear that keeps us in an earthly mindset. Unbelief and fear keeps us in the dark. Yet we read a supernatural book or with supernatural accounts, and we can often somehow excuse them. In John 3:13, and it depends what version you read. I like this version because it speaks how I want to put it. John 3:13 speaks about Jesus who was in heaven and on earth at the same time. That's in, I think, King James Version, New King James. That's how we're supposed to live. You see, he was in two realms at once. He was living in heaven and on earth. He was accessing both realms because he was bringing the kingdom of heaven with him. So when you read it from that standpoint, that's how we're supposed to be living. Greater works. Greater works we do because he goes to the Father. Rise up and do exploits. We need to get our mindsets changed, our Western way of thinking, and understand that God wants to bring his kingdom here right now. You see, you're drawing from either place. People follow what you live, not what you say. Now, I have someone close to me, and I'm not going to mention it because it's on tape, but I have someone close to me, and you people know who it is. But anyway, this person, she's lost a son to suicide, and another one, you know, has been saying, "I'm going to do this" and all that. And this person professes to be Christian, but they're actually showing something different in their life, is that they're trying to do it too. You know, they're taking all these drugs every day, wiping out. So the kids are actually watching this and saying, I'm a Christian. Well, if that's Christianity, I don't want you. I don't want anything to do with that. You know, because our actions are far more important than what we say. You can tell people stuff, but if we're not living in it, people see it and say, well, up, excuse the French, but up yours. I don't want nothing to do with that. If that's your Christianity, if you're not showing me victory and overcoming power, then I don't want a bar of it. We need to be actually walking it out, kingdom of God, love and the presence and loving people for others to see what the kingdom of God is about. And walking, asking God to, and it's not looking for the supernatural, you know what it is, it's looking for him. Because if you're looking for him, you're looking for intimacy, that'll all flow anyway. Signs and wonders, supernatural, that'll all start to come. It's the intimacy and the closeness with him. See, your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. It's not later on. It's right here, right now. Right here, right now. Two choices, two sources, and the fruit will be evident to all which kingdom we're accessing. People know. Don't see yourself as someone who's just going to scrape in the by and live like hell here, because that's not living. That's miserable. You know, I always joke around, but I'm serious. I can't believe you're not a Christian. We're all Christians here. But I can't believe, why would you want to live in that realm? Oh, you know, walk around blindfold. Oh, you Christians have got blind faith. Really? I'm having a party. Yeah, I've had my hard days, but I've never been so excited in 23 years. It's been an awesome journey for me. In the scripture, Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Now, that scripture we've been looking at lately, and in the time, see, they all understood that. See, a lot of us, we may not understand, but what was going on is, you're talking about a bull that used to carry and do the harvest, and he used to carry a younger bull, say, half the size of him, behind him, but he'd be yoked to him, and the yoke would actually have spikes in his neck, yeah, goads, whatever you want to call it, in his neck. So as he's dragging this bull, the bull will be rebelling, this little baby one, you know, rebelling all over the place. I don't want to come that way, you know, all over the place. But eventually he would learn and he would start to follow. You know, he'd be following right behind. So then you could take that bull away and that other one would do it. Yeah, that's how he taught him. So when Jesus was speaking that, he was using that, but he said his burden, his yoke is gentle and light. He's humble in heart. But you know us, rebellious people that we are. So God has to teach us, yeah, because he wants us to follow him, put his yoke on. And sometimes we start going, Lord, where are we going? I don't want to do this. I want to be over here. And eventually, you know, after all the punch up, not Jesus punching you up, but you trying to punch him up and punch up what he's trying to do in your life, you finally surrender and think, finally, I've got it. But that's what Jesus was trying to tell them. You know, I look at that scripture where it's Saul got knocked off his donkey and says, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. I wonder if that's what he was talking about, you know, that concept there, whether he understood far deeper than we did, because sometimes we read it from our Western way of thinking, but Jesus, all he's wanting to do, well, we just surrender, we just stop it, stop trying to do our own stuff, stop listening to everything else, listen to me. That's what he's saying to us, because he loves us. He loves us dearly. He loves every one of us so dearly that he paid the price and died on the cross for us. How awesome is that? You know, made a way where there was no way back to the Father. Paid with his own blood. Everyone hated him, but what did he do? He went to the cross for them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then when we finally surrender, it's like, you know, and then you can relax. Thanks, guys. I've got just a little song we can listen to. And let's just focus on the love of God and the intimacy, because it's intimacy that actually brings us closer. It's intimacy that actually changes everything. It's not being a good church goer. It's not, oh, I've got to come to Sunday because I do anything like that. It's intimacy with him.